Arquitetura entre vistas. Your public space for thinking architecture is now going abroad. Welcome, I'm Catarina, no longer a student, not yet an architect. Join me and a guest architect 3 times a month, with new episodes dropping every 3rd, 13th and 23rd. 3 is the number to remember. Each episode on a different place, but always on Spotify. And Instagram and on the website arquitecturaentrevistas.com. Go check it out.
This week, let's travel to Denmark to meet the Danish duo Søren Johansen and Sebastian Skovsted, who worked together since 2014 under the name Johansen Skovsted Architecture. Their office seeks to bridge the gap between building processes and architectural values by mixing ideas and techniques and techniques and ideas. Their practice attaches particular attention to detail and material assembly, and we might further on in this conversation discuss the meaning of structure. Maybe this is actually a good way to start this conversation. Sebastian, would you consider your projects to be explorations of structure? Because it is very evident that your work heavily emphasizes the matter of materiality and that you find some kind of joy in the joining of joints. In your work, the structure establishes a very close correlation with the project, and we might in fact say that project and structure are actually the same thing. Do you agree with this?
Actually, I think that explains very precisely what we seek or how we see our architecture. So we don't do structure for the sake of structure, but we do like to work with what we have to make a building. So a wall, a column, a beam. For us, it's a good starting point to investigate these things that would be there for necessity if we can use them also to make space and, you could say, to influence the way that we would experience our buildings and projects. We're often very happy if we can take out unnecessary layers, things that you would often see just for the sake of, to make things look more simple. But in fact, if you can show the structure and somehow control it as part of your final building and get into the core of what is necessary, we are very happy if we can get to this point in our buildings.
So it's almost as if you want to project architecture that goes very close to the bone.
Yeah, I think that's very correct. And it's we spend a lot of time actually to get to something that might look rather simple, but might take a lot of time to get there. And it's also when we work with structure and materials, we also very much depending on engineers and specialists. So we also depend a lot on having the right people to collaborate with, that they can understand the aim of a special structure or beam or to make this possible. So it's depending very much on good collaborations and the right feedback from an engineer or manufacturer.
Do you usually see eye to eye with those teams that work with you?
Well, we try to find the people that are open for specialists that know a lot about a special manufacturing and also willing to try new ways. So we try to find people who are open for our approach. And so far, I think we have succeeded quite well in finding these people, but it's always something very exciting to start up a new project or a new collaboration. Because of course, you also need people who are only willing to do what they always did and not open for new, more experimental ways of doing things, just slightly different, but something that would mean a lot to a final building, you could say.
This reminds me of something I heard once Peter Eisenman develop on, and maybe I should quote him. He says, "The firmness of the Vitruvian triad, commodity, firmness, and delight, was not so much about the literal structure of firmness as it was about a structure that had to embody the idea of firmness. Instead of merely having an object that stood up, it had to look like it stood up. Thus, when something looks like structure, it is being legitimized by this look like and not necessarily by the structure itself. So my question here is your architecture primarily concerned with a physical structure, or does it explore another kind of fundamental structure architecture might arise?
Yeah, I like the quote and your question very much, because I would say that our buildings would always depart, you could say, in a pragmatic, or you could say a real structure. But we also like to get to a point. We are not afraid of playing with elements that might not be, you could say, purely necessary structure. I can give some examples. Mm-hmm. One of the first projects, the wooden garden in Copenhagen, in this housing block, where we did this wooden structure with a starting point of simple wooden frame, just a simple structure with simple wooden frame structure. And we put the cladding inside out to make it appear more like a garden pavilion and for plants to grow. And in this specific project, we also work with diagonals to stiffen the structure. And some of them are purely structural, and some of them starts to be somehow more visual for the plants. So if you look close, you would see some of them be more fragile in the profiles, and some of them directly part of the structure. So it starts from simple rhythm, wooden skeleton, wooden frame, and then it becomes an answer for us to how this should appear and look. If you would look close, you could question if it's truly structured or not, which is something that we really like. It's not only about to find the right answer, but also to see which direction the project would lead.
Maybe I can add another example. That was the very recent project of yours, Kodan.
Yeah.
And there were some beams that were not visible. They were at the same level as the ceiling, but you still wanted to have these structural orientation. And that's so you make the infrastructures attached to the ceilings, and it causes this lower ceiling part almost as beams. But then by looking at the project closely, we can understand that those are not the beams. Those are actually for the infrastructures, because they are kind of hollow in the middle.
Yes, exactly. So we in this project, initially we were investigating if we could make the roof from the beams, and to play with this as part of the spatial character of the building, and talking to the engineers and looking at the distances of the span, we just found out quite soon that these hollow core concrete slabs, 20 millimeter, the standard ones, would be the perfect choice financially and structurally and so on. And instead of trying to avoid this, we thought, okay, this is good. We have these flat ceilings, but we also have ventilation that you need to get into the middle of the room. So we somehow introduced what we call ventilation beams, but spatially appearing as they would be structural beam in one way on one hand. At the same time, as you mentioned, you can easily see that they are hollow. They are for sure not structural, but playing tectonically with the idea of a beam being a structural beam, or being in this case a ventilation infrastructure, a ventilation beam, I thought that was a way to deal with the fact of the flat ceiling and the fact of the need of the ventilation. And we really try to work this out as far as we could.
It's very interesting to understand that there is a physical structure, and then there is another one that is more about architecture than the physical structure itself. There is another mm-hmm. dialogue that happens.
Well, we enjoy structure or building spaces that it's far more than just solving load bearing and forces that you can get from the engineer. So we like the fact that it's more complex to work with these different elements. And for us, you could say structure is one thing, but ventilation infrastructure in contemporary building is also really something. So that's another, you could say, another demand, another necessity you need to deal with in a building. And in this very same project, the Kodan, we actually have the whole spatial layout is actually a consequence of getting these ventilation and technical infrastructure around in the building. So we have a parts connecting spaces with full ceiling height, And where we have the lower connecting parts, you would have the infrastructure. It's actually a huge impact of the final layout, but in a way that's helping to organize the sequence of spaces. It's much more than just pure structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can see that you think a lot function-wise. Do you believe that by incorporating function or practicality into an architecture project, does it prevent architecture from reaching its full potential, or it's completely the other way around?
I personally think it's the other way around. I think it's also the experience from working on different projects that we call it obstacles, creative obstacles, so things that you need to deal with. And that's helping us to find solutions. Even if we have a new building, we feel that we actually benefit from not having all opportunities in the world. We benefit a lot from dealing with a specific building system, for instance, trying to make things being the right choice or not, because we're working with this prefab concrete system or a wooden frame system, or also having projects like transformations or dealing with existing buildings would most likely help us to make the first steps. But I think a new building where everything is open, it's like where to start. And it helps a lot to find often a pragmatic everyday building system. And our approach is to try to understand how would they do it if we wouldn't be there? How are they already doing it? What kind of building would they normally do? And then try to influence it. Because we know that if we would come up with something completely different, then it would never happen. They would just say this is not possible. But now we will try to really understand how they do it already and then see how we can influence this in an interesting way.
Okay, so you look around and see what's happening around and you try to incorporate that almost as your starting point for your project.
Yeah, I would say so. And then, of course, sometimes it's more open than other times. So sometimes in Denmark, still nowadays, it's something that is very much changing, also changing since we started this CODEM project 6 years ago. But if you make a larger building, it's most likely prefab concrete, because that's how the building industry has been developed since the 60s and 70s. You could say, we don't want to do this, or you could say, how can we do it in an interesting way, or how can we influence it from working with it instead of avoiding it, you could say. We are fully aware that building with concrete has a lot of climate impact, but on the other hand, it's also something that's not going to disappear from one day to the other. So we're very much interested, even in this kind of difficult building infrastructure, to see how we can influence it. Sometimes you can put a project in another, can be built in steel instead of concrete, but it's not always as simple. And we try very much to deal with what you could call reality and see what we can influence. Yeah.
And by starting with a particular craft or material in mind, this is actually a very logical strategy for your practice that values structure, because by ensuring this from the start, those aspects are never compromised along the process of architecture. There are some guarantees that guide every project decision.
I think that's a very good point. If we start what we expect is the most likely to end in a way, not trying to think of something that would never happen in the end, then we can somehow optimize it. And in that sense, when we finally have the contractor and the final budget, then we have a very good experience in projects actually being built and not reached to this surprise of things not being possible or being way too expensive. But yeah, try the other way around. And we sometimes succeeded because things were very optimized, very pragmatic. Then we could also do something extra, something extravagant. An example is our Birdwatch Tower. It's actually a very tall, it's somehow way too tall from a pragmatic point of view, what is necessary. But it's very important to have this tall space, and we find it very interesting to have something optimized and something extravagant as a contrast in the same project. And in this case, it was possible to give it an extra height because other parts of the project are very optimized.
Yes, just a little context for those who might not be very aware of this project. This is the Tepern project There is a bird watching tower in the middle of a very horizontal landscape. And something I think that is very interesting in there, and please don't get me wrong, but I almost feel like we can ignore the architecture, because if we semi-close our eyes, it almost vanishes away from the landscape. So if we are very far behind, it completely blends into the landscape, even if it is a vertical point in the middle of a very horizontal landscape. But as we get closer, we can no longer ignore its presence. There are almost two scales of building. One that, and this happens in almost all of your projects, that is this idea that there are two scales. One that is seen from a long distance, and we almost feel like the materiality is all the same, or that the new and the old are all blended together. But as we get closer, we get to realize, oh, this is concrete. Oh, this is wood. Oh, this is steel. But then the God is in the details. Actually, this applies in your project.
That it's something that we have been aware of working with those two projects that we are referring to, the Birdwatch Tower and the Skjern River pump stations. In both projects, we like the idea that when you reach the Birdwatch Tower, you, especially when you start seeing it from a long distance, you might not know if it's something that was recently built for people to climb and experience the beautiful landscape, or if it was somehow from an old infrastructure at this specific place.
Mm-hmm.
When you get close, I guess you would understand that it's a new structure. And we are playing with this idea of new and old. And for the pump stations, there were these three existing concrete structures from the 60s to drain some water. And we had the chance to build on top of them. And they have this very characteristic concrete facade, interpreted as a wooden structure on top. And when you arrive from a distance to these structures, the wood and the concrete would blend, and you might not know if it was always the full version or if something was there before and something was added. And getting closer, you can see the wood, the transparency, the fragility of the wood. That is something you could never achieve in a concrete structure. So you know it's not concrete, all of it. But at the same time, because the wood is very transparent sometimes, on one hand, it's a contrasting material to the concrete. On the other hand, the concrete is made with wooden formwork. And somehow, without changing the existing concrete, it also becomes lighter in a way, because it's put together with something that is looking like the concrete, but is transparent. And in that sense, the new and the old, the heavy and the light, and the, could say, the new use with visitors on top of the building, touching the walls, and then this concrete was made for the purely functional building containing this machine hall with the pumps draining the water. So there's a kind of contrast and unity coming together, which we find very interesting to work with.
I really enjoyed the subtleness in your work. And maybe there is another kind of play I identify here. You often seem to defy the laws of gravity. And you do it sometimes by making the heavy load levitate, like you do in the Tippern Tower, where it seems that the lighter supports are in the bottom and then the top part is heavier. But it seems it is not like that. And then you do it the other way around in the example you were now speaking of, the Skjern River pumping station. There is this very heavy concrete base in the bottom, and then you do this wooden structure at the top. And it seems that it is almost levitating or disappearing into the sky. And you do this contrast. Do you have this thought of gravity in your mind when you are projecting?
It's something that we definitely have in mind, but it might be more unspoken.
Uh-huh.
I don't recall that it's like discussing how can we make this this look light. It's not to be light for the sake of being light, but it obviously has a huge impact on the presence of a structure. And if we take the example of the Birdwatch Tower, our aim was to make this open structure where you would see the horizon through the structure, and on one hand would be this very precise, defined. On the other hand, something, where you would feel the landscape through the structure, and something that would not have a too heavy impact on the landscape. So Obviously, lightness, something fragile, might help making a very present work in a landscape, in an open landscape. So that's, I would say, one way that we've been dealing with lightness. In the more recent project, the Kodan project, it's a concrete building and it's made of these precast sandwich elements, and the insulation and the load-bearing wall all comes at once to place at the final building. And it's almost half a meter thick in total, so quite something. And in general, you would consider concrete as heavy, I suppose. Most people would, I would. Playing with the fact that the building is made of these layers, and the idea of challenging this thickness of the structure, we made a corner detail where this very present thickness of the front plate. The front plate is not overlapping, but leaving an open corner, you could say. And this, together with sometimes there's a window in the very corner where the glass, the window frame, would go all the way to the front plate. And then behind the glass, you would see the thickness of the rear wall of the load bearing.
Uh-huh.
So you would understand that the building has a thickness of the structure, the facades, but it also plays with the lightness, you could say, within this building system. And by doing these things, we believe that once again, we have this doubleness, this contrast. So we're trying to leave the heaviness on one hand, but also challenge it. You also work with a thin green treatment of the concrete. So you have the monolithic material that would appear on one surface in one way and on the other side, colored green. So you could argue that it's almost like a two-dimensional surface coming together at the very corner and not as a 3D solid material on one hand. On the other hand, you obviously see it as a monolithic. So these contrasts very interesting for us to work with, because it somehow helps the whole complex to, it does something that we find very fascinating, does something to the context, to the way you would experience a building from outside, but also it also goes into the interior and it somehow breaks down this normal perception of a heavy concrete building, say.
Yeah, so it's heavy, but you still get to deal with some lightness.
Yeah. It's more interesting to work with lightness in a heavy building than work with lightness in a light building somehow.
And there is another subversion I can find here. Maybe you aim to build some kind of timeless architecture, but not in the way that your architecture will last forever, but in a way that your architecture cannot be understood as something that was built yesterday or 100 years ago. We cannot understand if it was something brand new or something that is very old. There is this mind confusion. It's very interesting. And it still is about being timeless, not in a way that it will last forever. We never know about that.
I think somehow it might have something to do with get into the core of the elements of a building. It's something on its own. Maybe that has a bit to do with what you are referring to as timeless, because it's not about wrapping things in the most fashionable way, but it's more to find core, you could say, of the structure. And on the other hand, I think the building is always, that's how it is, and it's totally fine that it's always from a specific time. There are like technical and ethic, and there are a lot of requirements that somehow are present from a specific period. So I think on one hand, you always build in a specific period, of course. On the other hand, more eternal aspects of making space and working as architects. So we are definitely not escaping the fact that we are, but it's interesting to find into some specific date. You could say more universal, something more general. And something that has been a huge inspiration for Søren and I since we were young, is like these technical infrastructures and all these structures that were perhaps not built from architects, but more like these, you could say, pragmatic necessary structures. And sometimes it's very interesting if we can search for these, somehow play with this, let's say.
Okay, so you're looking for some kind of building that is universal.
I don't know. I think it's a very high ambition. We find it very interesting if we can find aspects of this in our projects, and we think it's worth dealing with to see how far we can achieve this. Yeah.
So by collecting some words you mentioned during this conversation, I can see that there is an interest in structure, of course. Also, you mentioned a lot of times aspects of nature and interests for simplicity and almost for the non-referential architecture. I can establish some kind of proximity with the work of Jørn Hudson. I don't know if this is because you're both from Denmark, but I can see many similarities. In his church in Copenhagen, he references to clouds on the inside. Then on his house in Mallorca, we can see this clear reference to the moon. It is not about the context right next to it. It is a broader kind of context. And I think you have this same aim in your projects. This same thing happens in your Tipern Tower, where there is this vertical structure in the middle of a very horizontal landscape made to see the birds. So this honesty that I really appreciate.
Yeah, I think that's his very huge inspiration, but he's also, Jørn Utzon is Jørn Utzon, and we are definitely inspired by it, but it's something that is so unique. It's not something it's more like you can find aspects, themes of Utzon,
yeah, yeah,
and bring them into your architecture. And if we just succeed a little bit, I think that's amazing, because he's really one of my very greatest heroes as a human being and as an architect. Perhaps coming back to your previous question about if something is eternal, I think Utzon is a great example, because he works very much with something that has a universal, but it's also very much what was possible at the time when he did his architecture. He was always like challenging what was possible and tried to challenge this, but it was always within this context of the year that he designed and built. And I think that's very interesting that it has both.
You just said a few minutes ago that you also try to incorporate the nowadays themes into your work.
Yeah, I think we are very much a part of, I could say, a context, also a time. And one example could be the different building systems that we find around, also in a local context. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that this is also changing. There are new possibilities. It's a very fast moving forward period of finding new materials, new ways of building, and we're very much interested in trying to influence this in a good direction, but in a way that is might be naive, but that is not too naive, you could say. So make things possible and try to push every time what is possible, but not try to escape reality. That's not a way.
Uh-huh. A book.
Yes, there's a famous book called Die Tausendbygninger, and that would be translated into the silent structures, the silent buildings. It's the architect and photographer who made photographs of these buildings disappearing at that time in the 60s, 70s, these old small industrial places, like small factories. And he made these amazing photographs that he collected and put together in this book that somehow captures very much what we in the office think it's all about. What is beautiful in this book is that you find structures all made without architecture. There's this famous Bernard Budovsky book called Architecture Without Architects. It's a bit like a Danish version of this book.
Okay, so we get two books instead of one, which is super nice. So Silent Buildings and Architecture Without Architects. And I can definitely find the similarities within your work. Now, second question, a place.
Well, now I'm in our office. It's a nice old building in central Frederiksberg neighborhood in Copenhagen. I think it's the right place for us to work. Just a nice space with the light coming in and close to many things.
An architect.
Yeah, I would like to say Jørn Utzon, but we already mentioned him. There is a Danish architect who is called Hans Christian Hansen. And he was the city architect of Copenhagen and made most of his buildings in the 60s, 70s. And he was, as I said, working for the city of Copenhagen. He made a few schools and he also made these technical infrastructures in a very beautiful, slightly playful way, and a huge inspiration.
A project of your own.
At the moment, we are working on this project in Belgium, which is an existing 60s water tower, 45 meters tall, where we would add a new lift and staircase. This is a project together with a Belgium office called Filters Architekten, and you could say a very current project. And in a few days, we will get prices from the contractor. So it's a very exciting moment. And it's a project that we are looking very much forward to hopefully build the next year.
A project of another architect.
Could it be from an artist? This is
yeah, of course.
This is a museum in North Zealand called Rudolf Tegner Museum. It's a sculpture, a Danish sculpture, and built this bunker-like museum for himself and his structure. And it is located in this beautiful landscape and has this amazing roughness and beauty. And it has this octagonal huge space in the middle. It's like super eccentric, made for his own money and a bit like a way to give access to his sculptures. It's a very interesting place.
Thank you, Sebastian, for all the ideas you are constructing and for deconstructing long-held preconceptions within the field of architecture. Tak.
Selv tak. It has been a huge pleasure. Thank you. Obrigado.
Thank you for listening. Did you know you can also take part in this episode? Go to arquitecturaentrevista.com and upload images of projects that came to your mind while listening to this episode. For each episode, you will find a cloud of references uploaded by listeners all over the world. Of course, you can check on this collection anytime for your own projects as well. Hit the follow button for more thoughts on architecture and catch daily updates on Instagram. Obrigada!